Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
Ministers and other clergy are typically seen as individuals who've made a contract with God, not as labourers in need of union contracts to protect them from workplace abuses. A group of Protestant ministers in Ontario may be in the process of changing this perception. Recently, a group of ministers from the United Church of Canada approached the Canadian auto workers and began the process of launching a union drive. If they're successful, they will be the first clergy in North America to unionize. The United Church is the largest Protestant denomination in Canada, with 4,000 ministers and over 3 million members of congregations across the country. Joining us on the phone is Dr. David Golston, Minister of the Eternal Spring United Church in Hamilton, Ontario. Good morning, David, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning.
So what are some of the workplace problems that have prompted United Church ministers to seek union recognition?
Well, there's a variety, but for the most part, they're related to situations of abuse. And this means situations that are more than situations of frustration or perhaps disagreement or even stress. There's situations often that involve sexual abuse, that involve invasions of privacy, withholding of funds, not compensating ministers for legitimate expenses, things like this that are beyond just the normal level of frustration but constitute abuse in ministry.
So how have these issues typically been addressed?
Typically, they're addressed by asking the minister to leave the congregation and find another one.
Oh, my. What's the process that leads up to that, or is there any?
Well, there are a variety of processes, but the problem is that if you are a minister and you find yourself in this type of situation and you raise your voice, what will happen is the church will review your ministry. They won't touch the congregation. They'll review your ministry. And by and large, you reach the point where you either have to leave the congregation and find another, or you just learn to be silent.
Are the policies within the church biased against the ministers? Like, how does this situation come to be, that the power is so unequal there?
It comes to be because policies that could protect a minister are not applied. And often that happens because there's so much built-in contradiction. For example, if you have a problem with a particular parishioner, the chances are that very parishioner will be on the committee that makes the decision about the problem. So it's so internally self-referential that it's very, very difficult for a minister to raise a legitimate problem. Then, when the problem's raised, the course of the church, the policy is peace at all costs. They basically ask the minister to leave the congregation rather than face the challenge of disciplining a congregation.
And have there been attempts to form associations in the past?
Yes, there have been, and they haven't been successful, partially because often ministers feel isolated, and even among ministers, if somebody's having a problem in a church, the chances are we will too isolate that person and say, what's wrong with that person as a minister, rather than saying, what's the situation of that congregation and what's going on?
What led you personally to get involved in this effort?
Well, this effort is different because we approached a union, the Canadian Auto Workers, for help, and they agreed to help us. And what started that was a friend of mine in ministry who was sexually harassed, and the church essentially did nothing with the same usual advice, you ought to leave that congregation.
And has this been a long time in discussion, or was it how quick was the decision to take this action, because it's so significant?
We originally thought of, as people did in the past, of forming an association, and we tried that route, but the problem is when ministers gather together, we don't have any resources. obvious that we needed a vehicle that already had resources built in and was already able to lead us on a campaign, and that's why we went for unionization.
Is this something that you've experienced in your congregation, this sort of abuse?
I've been relatively lucky, and in fact, to say I've been lucky is part of my realization. I think that I haven't experienced abuse, but because I haven't, I ought to speak out. I'm in a position to do so. My congregation currently is very supportive of this initiative. They've even set up a shadow cabinet, what they're calling a little shadow cabinet, to cover for me if I can't be at a service or if I can't make some of the decisions that I might need to make as a result of being engaged in this union drive. So it hasn't affected me personally, but because it hasn't, I ought to speak out. And I say that to a lot of ministers. If you're in a good, healthy position, then you have to speak out, because we're talking about our colleagues who are being unfairly abused and who are being left in silence and isolation.
That's a wonderful example you're setting there. So now, why did you decide now that unionizing would be the best way to address the problems that ministers are facing?
We realized that none of these options would be able to bring an independent voice to the church and create a climate of change and reform. I think we simply need an independent outside voice that holds us accountable to our own policies and to the discussion of reforming ourselves.
Have there been examples of unionization elsewhere in the world?
As a matter of fact, there is a good example. It's the priests of the Church of England, along with a number of rabbis who joined Amicus, that is a union relatively similar to the CAW in the UK, and they have had good results, and they've been unionized for a decade.
And what's been the consequences of having the CAW on side now? Has it shifted the issue at all?
Well, first of all, it's made the issue serious. Secondly, it's brought attention to the issue, which has not happened before. Thirdly, it's created the ability for us, a small group of ministers, to go out on the road to promote this, to try to get people to sign cards. It's given us the legal resources to look at the question, to look at how it can work in the church, how it lines up with Canadian labor law. It does all kinds of things that we couldn't possibly do on our own.
Do you feel that this union drive is different than drives in other workplaces?
I think on the surface it looks different because it's a bit strange that it's Christian ministers. But when you get underneath that surface, in fact, the situation is not very different at all. Buzz Hargrove, who is the president of the CAW, has compared it to unionizing workers in any number of different situations because the questions are the same. It's the rights of the people involved in employment, the right to have their employment protected in some ways, the right to fairness, the right to adequate wage compensation, very many issues that are underneath the surface of the church are very similar to any other context of work where there are professionals involved in public service.
Now, your union drive has just begun and has already garnered a lot of media attention. What else do you feel that you've accomplished so far?
I think we've started a very serious national dialogue in our church, United Church of Canada. But we've also awoken, it seems to me, several ministers who are very, very much aware of this question and who have not felt in the past they've had the ability to speak. So we are getting excellent support so far by our colleagues, including people signing cards and sending them in. We have, I think, around 50 cards already signed, and we haven't even started the mailing yet. We'll be doing that probably very early next week. And we haven't yet gone on the road to try to help people think through this issue and discuss it openly. So what we've done is simply open up a space for action and thinking and talking that never existed before.
How has the church responded?
Well, I'm hoping that, and we still hope, that they will actually respond positively. I think initially they're asking questions. They don't know exactly what to think officially. United Church of Canada has always supported unions, but they're hesitant about this particular question and what it means. So they've responded with questions and concerns at this point. But we hope to convince them that this, in fact, is a very good thing, that it will help us in terms of providing a catalyst for change. We need change. The United Church has tried to change itself, and it's failed. Its own system fails itself when it comes to reform. It needs an independent body to help it along.
So what message does this send to other clergy and workers in other sectors that have not traditionally unionized? So in the long run, what effects do you think the unionization of ministers will actually have on the United Church?
I think it'll help solidify the future of the United Church, make our services as professionals better. It'll improve our education. It'll improve our benefits. It'll attract more people to ministry, and it'll help churches be honest when it comes to personnel issues and when it comes to fairness and safety in the workplace.
So what can people do if they're interested in supporting or finding out more about your efforts?
Well, they can always look at the CAW website. I think it's caw.ca. It might be caw.com. And we have information posted there. If they're in this particular area of the country, Ontario, we'll be traveling on the road, as I said, and that itinerary is posted on the website. And there are phone numbers that people can call, also posted on that website. We're happy to talk to people, to provide as much information as we can, to mail out a brochure that we have prepared.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me this morning, David.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. David Golston, minister at Eternal Spring United Church in Hamilton, Ontario. For more information on this issue, as he was saying, check out the Canadian Auto Workers website at www.caw.ca.
You've been listening to a program produced by Red Eye, an alternative media collective which broadcasts every Saturday morning from 9 until noon on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM. In Vancouver, Canada.